The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up, inspirational author and speaker Christine Kane encourages us to get out of our comfort zones and move past our past.
Jesus Christ came to redeem me from that pain and that brokenness. He took my abuse, He took my shame, He took my guilt, He took my pain, and He died on a cross for all of that. And here's the kicker, He rose again from the dead so that I can have resurrection life.
Moving past your past by taking a leap of faith. Next on Life Today.
Crazy people watching this. We want to thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to share this time with you. I'm James Robinson. Betty, my wife, and I welcome you to Life Today. Christine Kane is teaching, now get this, moving past your past. Don't get stuck. This girl is so gifted. You know, when Beth Moore, as gifted as she is, says, I think this might be one of my favorites in the whole world, and that they are their wonderful friends and co-laborers and wonderful teachers. And she's going to close with an illustration, Betty. It's one of the greatest I have ever heard in my life. And as she says, out of the mouth of babes, her little girl, boy, you talk about a life lesson. You don't want to miss this. So here is Christine Kane. Would you welcome her? Here she is.
To the zoo, and I went to the lion cages, and this is what was fascinating to me. The lions were just docile. They were just so tame and domesticated, and they're in their cages, and they're caged in, and they're tame and domesticated. And I said to my husband, I said, this is what happens to many of us in the church. Jesus created us to be untamed, to be wild, to be undomesticated for the cause of the King and His kingdom. And we get into the cage of religion and we start to assume this certain persona and we become safe and nice and domesticated and we're just waiting for the rapture, just us four and no more, hurry up, Jesus. And we're just kind of like sitting here and Jesus goes, I did not give my life and rise again from the dead just so that you can live a nice little safe, comfortable, complacent 9 to 5, 4 weeks annual leave, just nice little ordinary life. I called you to live a faith adventure. I invited you to follow me. Christine, that didn't stop when you got married. That didn't stop when you had children. I've called you on a faith adventure, and if you would continue to take a risk, you could move past your past. You don't need to stop at any one season of life. You can keep moving through the seasons. You can keep following me. Your latter days can be greater than your former days, and the best is yet to come. Amen. That's the adventure of Jesus Christ. Amen. He continues to call us forward. I don't want to be a boring 50-year-old. My kid is going to be in like third grade when I'm 50. I don't want to be, you know, I want to be super granny for Jesus. I want my kids to go, Mom, take a chill pill. I'm so embarrassed. I want to be on fire because I think the more we know Him, the more we walk into our future with Him, then you and I should be ready for greater risk than ever. I remember when the Lord spoke to us about starting the A21 campaign. I had seen the posters of the young women in Greece, in Thessaloniki, and children, and I saw these posters of all these missing kids. And I went on to find out that they were the alleged victims of human trafficking. I was in my early 40s, already had a global ministry, and I was not looking for anything new to do. I was already maxed out. I just had my second child. I mean, I think I deserved an award to have my second child in my early 40s. And I thought that in itself is great. And then drops into my heart, Christine, I want you to start this. And all I saw originally was just all my own limitations. God, how can I do this? And we start with our butts. But God, I can't do this. But God, I live in Australia. Do you know how far Australia is from Greece? And I could just imagine God saying, Gabriel, can you bring me a GPS? I don't quite know. I'm trying to work this out. Anyone got a map book? I'm lost. Anyone? Geography? I failed in God's school. And so, you know, you start with all your butts. But God, I can't. but God, I'm a woman. And God's in heaven going, I had no idea anyone met Peter. Did you know she's a chick? Oh, well. Well, but. You know what I seriously believe we need in the body of Christ? We need a serious buttectomy. You can go and open the medical journal. I'm sure it's listed in there. Google buttectomy on the other side of the screen. We need to get our big butts out of the way. Because it's not about what I cannot do. It's about who he is and what he wants to do in and through my life. It's not about my limitations. It's about God's purpose for my life. And at some point, your past isn't just the negative stuff that's happened to you. You could have been walking with the Lord, but the truth is you didn't take a step into your future with the Lord. You haven't taken one for the last 10 years. Your life's great. You're going to church every week. You're reading the Bible. You're paying your tithe. You're even watching me on the other side of this screen. But you've not taken a risk. You've not stepped into the future that God has for you. You haven't obeyed the last five things he's told you to do because you're stuck in what you were doing. You're still stuck in the past. And if you're going to get past that past, and if you're going to get past good to go to God's great, you're going to have to take some risks. Some risks where people are going to look at you and think you are weird. I don't think anyone's called me normal for 25 years. I take that as the highest compliment. I don't want to be normal. Normality is highly overrated. I'm telling you, it's highly overrated. And so many of us spend so much time worrying about what everyone else thinks, and those people are really not thinking anything and they don't care about us anyway. And we care more about man's opinion than we do God's opinion. And when we, as women of God, get to the place where we care more about what God thinks than what we care about what man thinks, then I'm telling you, we're going to step into the destiny that God has for us. Amen. Other people, the opinions of girlfriends, the opinions of family and friends, we've got to come to a place where we say, God, I'm ready to take a risk. I'm ready to do what you've called me to do, and I'm ready to be what you've called me to be. You know what? The truth is, if God could do it for me, God could do it for anyone. If God could take an unnamed, unwanted, abused, adopted girl that should have been a statistic, I'm sure there are people watching this on the other side of the screen, and you're thinking, man, Chris, if you just knew my life. The truth is, I've been the person on the other side, and I know what it is to be bound, and I know what it is to be free, and I know which I prefer. And he whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. You can step into the destiny and the purpose and the life that Jesus Christ came to give you, but you've got to be willing to take some risks, and you've got to be willing to look foolish. If you're going to move past the past into the future, both the good and the bad past, then you have got to be prepared to look foolish. I love this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. But God chose the foolish things of the world. Exhibit A. As I read this, I want you to see this. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It would be just like God to show off through some little unnamed, unwanted chick from the backside of the desert and say, you know what? Everyone's going to look at her and think, it's got to be me because it ain't her, that's for sure. And you know what? Every time you think you can't, you just have to know that he can. And that it is just like him to weave together all the challenge of your past so that he can use it to give somebody else a future. But are you willing to look like a fool? And really what I want to read to you is this list, because from Genesis to Revelation in the scripture, it's only people that have been willing to look like fools that have done anything significant for God. And, you know, could you imagine how foolish Noah looked when he was building an ark in a desert? Can you imagine everyone saying, Noah, what are you doing? I'm building an ark. What's an ark? I don't know. But I know rain's coming. What's rain? I haven't got a clue. Oh, so you're building, I don't know, for I don't have a clue. Awesome. I feel like that most days of my life. But what are you doing, Christine? 47, two kids, traveling. I don't know, really. Haven't got a clue. As soon as I know, I'll let you know. Can you imagine Moses? How foolish he looked with his little stick. What are you going to do with that, Mo? See that Red Sea? Yep, me and this stick, Red Sea. Can you imagine how foolish he looked? Can you imagine how foolish Sarah looked in the maternity department at Walmart? What are you doing, Sarah? Buying some baby clothes. Really? Yeah, it's in there. He's there. Could you imagine how foolish? But see, most of us, we're not prepared to say I'm pregnant with a dream of God because I'm too old. I'm in my 50s, I'm in my 60s, I'm in my 70s. And we think everyone will laugh at us because we're pregnant with a God dream at that stage. And we're not willing to look foolish to everyone else so we won't take the risk of faith it requires to give birth to the dream that God has. Can you imagine how foolish the Israelites looked as they marched around the walls of Jericho? Toga, sandals, a little shofar, no AK-47s, no missiles, no nothing. No, no, what are you doing? Walking around. Yeah, yeah, 6 days, seventh, six times. Yep, yep, then we're going to shout. And those 30-foot impenetrable walls, yep, they're going to come down. Because that's normally the battle plans God gives us. They're, like, ridiculous. And so how foolish we look. Could you imagine how foolish David looked? Little stick, little Goliath, 9-foot giant, 5 little stones, slingshot. Wow, knock yourself out. Well, I'm planning to knock him out, but anyway, we'll see what happens. Can you imagine how foolish Esther looked? Going to a king when she wasn't summoned. Can you imagine those lepers we talked about, how foolish they looked as they said, we're going to go in to Samaria. They would have looked so foolish. Can you imagine how foolish Caleb looked at 85? I'm not cashing in my 501k. No, no. See Hebron? That's what Moses promised me. I'm not giving up until then. I don't care if an entire generation died in the wilderness. I don't care if another generation's gone in to possess the promise. I'm 85 and I'm as young now as I was then. I want that mountain. Now that looks pretty foolish because the whole world's saying, let's retire. We didn't come to earth to retire. In case you're wondering on the other side of the screen, this is not your retirement program. That happens in heaven. This is where we come to help everyone that doesn't know Jesus here come to heaven with us. That's what this is all about. We didn't come to earth to retire. Can you imagine how foolish the wise men looked on the camels? What are you looking for? A little star, there's a Messiah. Awesome. Can you imagine how foolish Peter looked stepping out of the boat? Can you imagine how foolish the woman with the issue of blood looked as she reached and grabbed the hem of his garment? Can you imagine how foolish Paul and Silas look in prison and they're singing Shout to the Lord? Can you imagine how foolish the little boy's lunch looked in light of 15,000 people that needed to be fed? Can you imagine how foolish Mary looked when she turned up to her girlfriends and said it was an angel? Hey, Joe, I know what we haven't done and you know what we haven't done, but it was an angel. Anyway, and so, and Jesus Christ certainly looked foolish to a generation, hanging on a cross, mocked and ridiculed and scorned. But what happens when you're willing to be foolish? What happens when you're willing to take a risk and look foolish? Well, Noah was saved from the flood and Moses did see the Red Sea part and Sarah did give birth to Isaac and the Israelites saw the walls of Jericho fall and David did behead Goliath and Esther did stop a Jewish genocide and the lepers did see the Syrian army flee and Caleb did get Hebron and the wise men did see the Messiah and Peter did walk on water and the woman with the issue of blood was healed and Paul and Silas were freed from prison and the little boy's lunch fed 5,000 and Mary did give birth to Jesus and Jesus Christ got off that cross and he defeated hell and death and he gave us the life beyond our past. I'm telling you, there is a lot of power in daring to look foolish. I refuse to allow my past to limit my future. And as foolish as I might look to this world, then I am willing to take a risk of faith to spend all of this thing called life. I don't want to come to the end of my life and discover that I never lived. I don't want to come to the end of my life and stand before Jesus and say, well, I was abused and I was hurt. That's why I never did what you put me on earth to do. During my vapor, I allowed one thing to stop me from doing everything. I was abused for 12 years, but you know, as I'm talking to you today, as you're listening to this on the other side of the screen, the truth is I have not been being abused. Well, I'm 47 now. I was abused for 12 years. I haven't been being abused for 35 years. So why will I allow 12 years to dictate my entire life when I actually haven't been being abused for a whole lot longer than I was abused? Some of you have got stuck in a moment, a divorce, a pain, an abuse, a moment in time, a teacher that said you're dumb, a teacher that said that you're stupid, something that happened to you, and that thing was a season of your life, and you've allowed a season to define your entire life rather than understanding that, you know what, Jesus Christ came to redeem me from that pain and that brokenness. He took my abuse, he took my shame, he took my guilt, he took my pain, and he died on a cross for all of that. And here's the kicker. He rose again from the dead so that I can have resurrection life. That same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you and it lives on the inside of me. And that same Holy Spirit empowers us to move beyond our past into the future and the destiny that Jesus Christ has for us. Every single one of us, ladies, every single one of us. You know, here's my little girl is obsessed with flashlights. My little Sophia, obsessed. And she actually loves little Barbie flashlights. And I was preaching somewhere and then it was about... It was very late at night and the only place I could get her a flashlight was from Walmart. And us Australians, we love Walmart. It's like a tourist attraction. We get our phones out and we Twitter to the world, I'm in Walmart, and all the Americans are like, so what? And the rest of the world is like, awesome, take pictures. And that's because, you know, it's the only place in the world that you can go at 3 o'clock in the morning and buy breakfast, cereal and underwear and a gun. It's fantastic. It's just all there. And so I... And so my little girl wanted a Barbie... you know, flashlight. And she actually, you know, back then, if I said to her, Sophia, is Jesus in your heart? She would say, no, Mummy. Daddy said we are not allowed to have boys. And so Barbie is in my heart and Jesus is in my tummy. And so, you know, we worked on that theologically, but she wanted a Barbie flashlight. And so I bought her a little flashlight, put the batteries in, and then I turned to the cashier so that I could pay for it. And then my little girl, who at the time was three, she yells out to me, she's turning on the flashlight. And if you've ever been in a Walmart, you know with all the fluorescent lighting, you can't see the flashlight once you turn the flashlight on. So she turns it on. She obviously can't see the light. So she yells at me. She goes, Mummy, can we please go and find some darkness? And when she said that, I turned around. I thought, out of the mouth of babes. Mm. If I put Sophia in a room and lock that basement without any lights, you would hear that kid from Australia to America. But if I give that kid a tiny Barbie flashlight, then she not only shuts that basement door, she goes as deep as she can, looking as deep as she can for the most darkness that she can, because she knows that darkness cannot touch her while she has the light in her hand. It is not the magnitude of the darkness around her, but the power of the light within her hand that dispels that darkness. And Jesus says, you have got the same spirit that raised me from the dead that lives on the inside of you. Now take that light. Don't live safe. Go out of your comfort zone. Move past your past and step into a dark and a dying world and illuminate the darkness with the light and the life and the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Oh boy. Christine, I have an idea you're watching. You did great, but what a story. And you know, Christine, that Betty and I together have been diligently seeking to inspire the church to become together the light that pierces the darkness. And where the darkness is so apparent, the opportunity is the greatest, a bright light. And if we do it together, Betty, yes, as a family of faith, we really do become a shining city set on a hill that is not and cannot, will not, and must not be hidden. That really is our role today as the family of faith. Don't be stuck in your past. Get the series, get the material on CD or DVD or both, the books that Christine has written. Let me tell you in a moment how you can get them. But I want to show you something about how we together can be that light that pierces the greatest darkness, perhaps, that we can face. The darkness that death brings, especially, as we only too well know, when it robs you of those closest to you, family, perhaps, children. Watch prayerfully.
Unseen, unknown, invisible is how a Duke feels. In an area devastated by malnutrition, the suffering is widespread. A Duke knows it well, most recently, her 4-year-old daughter. Now she sits alone next to her daughter's grave, the last of 4 children lost.
dengan yang nak tidak. Kurang kan mungkin nak macam awak nak jadi dengan apa tadi dengan.
A dude is not unseen. None here are, not by God or you. We know God has called us to respond, but we can only act if you do.
We can only stop the death cycle if people like you care.
And you know, as I heard her say, as I read the words on the screen, I hope God sees me. He does. He sees you and many mothers like you that have lost their precious little ones. And I want you to know that He sees her and many more through our eyes and through our love and through our giving, just as we care for those and want to give them hope through the feeding of their children that can save their lives. And she doesn't have to lose all her children. Mothers like her that are just hanging on for the last breath of their child can know that help is on the way.
This is the last week, Betty, that we get to ask you for help. We take a season, a period of time, various times a year, to try to accomplish very meaningful, effective goals. And our viewers around the world are always anxious to see and hear and help. And we really appreciate that because we believe that's very godlike. When you see the least of these and you notice and you meet that need, you become involved. Jesus said, "You're doing this to me." And He calls you a very special chosen group who will stand eternally in the very presence of God because you have the sensitive heart of God. So we know that when you watch, you're moved. Now, in this last week, this particular season, where we're talking about mission feeding, much of it in South Sudan, other hard-hit areas, where drought has created problems, where loss, famine, or poverty, you can meet the need. And what we do is we go in love, missionaries with hearts full of love, but with hands filled with the resources we give them, the food, the needs that we're able to meet. And we ask you to meet those needs for the next several months by making a gift that just keeps giving. We can literally stop that cycle of death where another mother is trying to save her child or several of her children. They don't have to lose them all. We have saved millions and millions of lives and yes, led even more in those areas in even higher numbers to Christ because their hearts were open to understand where did this love come from. So I'm asking you to dial that number now during this last week and take your bank card and use it like a check, or if you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're mailing it or go online. But remember this, I mean, in the last week, we really have a miracle to share that I've been telling you about. A group of friends with a broken heart filled with compassion said they will match what you give. If you gave $1,000 as a year-end gift or a special gift right now, it would be doubled in its effect. We wouldn't just be able to feed 100 children for the next month, but it would jump to 200. 30, 50, or 100 jumps from 3, 5, or 10 children help to 6, 10, or 20. So you're doubling the number of children. This is a special time of giving. We receive the greatest gift, Jesus Himself, a gift from God. It should inspire us to give life. That's the greatest gift we can give on this earth, eternal life, the great gift God gives through Christ. Would you dial that number or go online? Take your bank card, please. Make the gift that keeps giving. Remember, it's the last week. What you give will be doubled. Many of you will want to make very special year-end gifts, a wonderful and wise thing to do. Father, I pray everyone watching will simply do what you lead them to do and do it cheerfully, gladly, in Jesus' name. He's promised to bless us as we bless others. I'm going to tell you something. Giving life and blessing others is all the blessing I need. Join me in being a blessing and being blessed.
In remote and impoverished areas of Africa, families are suffering, facing death by starvation, and those hit the hardest are their children. Life's Mission Feeding Program is there, able to feed and care for over 400,000 children in crisis areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. But our food reserves are gone, and we desperately need your support to replenish our supplies at more than 800 feeding centers immediately. As an answer to prayer, a group of Life's Friends have set a $550,000 end-of-year matching challenge for Mission Feeding. This means your gift today can have a double impact. $30 to help feed three children will be double to impact six children. $50 to help feed five children will be double to help save 10 children. And $100 for 10 children will be double to help feed and minister to 20 children. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you Christine Cain's powerful new teaching series, Moving Past Your Past, on audio CD, along with her book, Can I Have and Do It All, Please? With your double impact gift of $100 to help save the lives of 20 children, you may request both the audio and video series. And as a bonus, we'll send you Christine's latest book release, Undaunted. Finally, please consider a double impact gift of $1,000 to help save the lives of 200 children. And you may request our 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Brotherly Love. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I want to remind you, this is the last week in this emphasis for Mission Feeding, and your gift will be doubled. In the Christmas season, I would think there'd be every one of us inspired to make a very meaningful gift. As for Christine's series, I do hope and pray that you will consider. Many of you looking at the opportunity of making a year-end gift. Thank God that at least at this point in time, we still get that tax credit. We don't need to give the government more money to mismanage, which so often happens. So let's do it where we know it works. Make a gift. The $1,000 gift or more, and you may be able to do more than that. Ask for the Brotherly Love bronze. We'll be so happy to send it to you. Thanks for watching. Thank you for sharing life, and thanks to all of you for being here.
To a little black sheep.
Grammy Award winner Ashley Cleveland describes herself as a little black sheep tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.